This is TalkBack, 721-1290 or 1-800-568-5309.
This is News Talk KGVO, AM 1290 and 98.3 FM. KGVO, Missoula's news and weather station.
Hey, good morning, everyone. Welcome. It's the Tuesday, April 21st edition of TalkBack. TalkBack this morning is brought to you by friends at Quality Seamless Gutters, expert gutter installation and repair. Get a free quote for Quality Seamless Gutters by calling, these are all 406 numbers, of course, 728-4002. Y West Storage, secure, flexible self-storage in Missoula. To reserve your unit today, call 510-0590. That's Y West. Bruckner's Truck and Equipment, heavy-duty truck sales, parts and service. Call Bruckner's at 541-9097. Busy Bees Cleaning Service gives you commercial cleaning you can trust. Call Busy Bees at 550-3219 and get a free estimate. Gomer's Diesel, a diesel repair parts and service in Missoula. Give Gomer's Diesel a call today, 728-7620.
The views and opinions expressed on TalkBack are not those of the staff, management, or advertisers.
Well, I want to say good morning to everyone on this Tuesday, April the 21st. Good to have you along this morning. It is a beautiful day. But from what I understand, nasty weather is coming our way in the next couple of days. But right now, I want to say good morning to Mr. Nick Christensen. Good morning, Mr. Nick.
Good morning.
And we have a caller already.
Yeah, we have Dave.
All right, Dave, good morning, sir. You're on TalkBack. What's on your mind, please, sir?
Yeah, I thought I'd get in a little early so I could get a little, try to tell you what I'm thinking at the moment.
All right, go for it.
First of all, about the Iran war, I hope the negotiations happen, and I hope that this war ends that way, because any other way it'll be really bad. But you know, Trump says he plays chess. You know, that he's supposed to be this great chess player, and if negotiations break down, which they might, his plan is to bomb Iran. Well, you can destroy all the bridges and all the power plants, and I assume Iran will have put a lot of people in those on those bridges and in those power plants, and the U.S. will kill a lot of people.
Just to make it look especially bad.
Right. And in the end, after all the bridges are blown and all the power plants are down, and maybe he'll start on the cities and he'll destroy the cities like Israel did in Gaza Strip. But, you know, Hamas is still operating in Gaza Strip. And Iran will still be, the government that's in power will have people out there, it'll still be operating even after all the cities are destroyed. So, And the Strait of Hormuz will be in danger of being closed anyway. So, the nuclear material will probably still be in the ground. So, I mean, I don't know what his plan after he's bomb Iran. And, you know, what is his next move after that? I don't understand.
Well, not having an open line to the mind of the President of the United States, I will freely say I don't know.
Right. I mean, you know, he's a great chess player. I assume he has more moves to make. But I would assume after that, you know, it's troops on the ground. And that would be, you know, that would be a real... That'll extend this whole war a lot longer.
I'm looking at this here. Okay. As of April last year, President Trump's strategy regarding Iran involves a 15-point ceasefire plan aimed at restricting Iran's nuclear capabilities, ending their ballistic missile program, and halting support for regional proxies. The administration has pursued maximum pressure with, there was a website there called Epic Fury, targeting Iranian naval and missile infrastructure. So that's what we got so far.
Right. And you know, he can accomplish some of that. The missiles eventually will run out. But the nuclear material is in the ground, and
right.
it'll still require someone to go in and dig it out and take it out. And that would be American troops, I assume, yep. unless the Iranians, like in a peace deal, come right. up. And you know,
Dave, we are up against a hard break, but thanks for
sure.
the call. We're going to come right back with more of TalkBack right after this quick timeout. Stay with us, please.
spring.
It's another crazy week for April. Turnaround weather in Montana will go from the warmest day of the year with a high in the mid-80s Tuesday back to possible snow showers. By week's end, the transition starts this evening, especially in northwest Montana, with increasing clouds and then rain developing before noon Wednesday. About a 90% chance of rain. It could be heavy at times, anywhere from a quarter of an inch to half an inch through this storm. Highs Tuesday in the 60s, back in the 50s Thursday, the 40s on Wednesday with snow showers, at least from pass level and above.
Being a family caregiver can be rewarding, but it can also be expensive. Search caregiver compensation programs at the AARP Foundation Paid for Care Hub, developed with support from United Healthcare. Visit paidforcare.aarpfoundation.org.
Hey, we are back. This is Talkback. 721-1290 is our number. It's open phones for the next, 18 minutes or so. And then we have special guests joining us all the way until 10 o'clock. We'll be starting with Art Wittig. He's the chair of the Montana GOP, the Montana Republican Party. And so we'll be talking to him about politics. And then James Brown is going to be joining us in the 9 o'clock hour. He's the Montana State Auditor and Commissioner of Insurance for the state of Montana. So lots going on in his office. So again, we're looking for your phone calls for both those individuals. But right now, it is open phones. So whatever might be on your mind this morning, that's what we would definitely like to talk about. So I was just looking. Dennis just kind of gave us a quick look at the weather forecast. And yesterday was just a spectacular day. Blue sky and sunshine and all that. And I was thinking we were going to have an early spring, maybe a little early taste of summer. But when I'm looking at the forecast here, as Dennis just told us, a chance of rain and thunderstorms on Wednesday, and then rain Wednesday night, and rain on Thursday, and rain Thursday night. And then on Friday, it says here, 40% chance of snow. Ho, ho, ho.
I'll believe it when I see it. I've been saying snow all winter. We'll see.
Yeah, well, anyway, I almost, at my house, we have a sprinkler system, and I almost turned it on yesterday. Yeah, but I thought, nah, it's just a little bit early. What if it freezes and, you know, nasty things can happen when you start running water through underground pipes and all that jazz. So
yeah, way too early for that.
Oh yeah,
I guess not way too early, but yeah, I mean, definitely don't do that. It's not like your snow tires where you can drive around with those. You cause some real damage with that.
Yeah, I hear you. Well, anyway, we'd love to hear from you folks. Tell us what's going on with you at 721-1290 or 1-800-568-5309. What's happening in your world? If there's something around the world that you'd like to talk about, maybe what's going on in the Middle East right now, you'd like to weigh in on that, or something going on here in Montana. That's why we have open phones, and all the lines are open right now at 721-1290 or 1-800-568-5309. Da, 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 da.
Yeah, no calls yet.
Dum, 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 dum.
I will say Dennis did do a story yesterday from that crash over the weekend that we didn't talk about.
Right.
Investigators were looking into the circumstances that led to a truck getting hit by a train.
Wow.
West of Missoula, and Frenchtown Rural Fire said the collision happened on Beckwith Street, which is just north of Mullen Road in Frenchtown. Just before 5 a.m. Sunday morning, and two people were trapped inside the crushed truck when they arrived.
Wow.
They were both able to get both victims cut free and transported to St. Pat's to be treated. It looks like the Burlington Northern Santa Fe train was carrying a load of Boeing fuselages.
Right.
But they're still looking into, obviously, how this all happened.
So. Now, I remember years and years ago, there was a derailment that occurred, I think, somewhere around the Clark Fork River, where a whole bunch of Boeing fuselages that were on that train ended up getting dumped into the river. I don't know if you remember that. It was quite a while ago, but yeah. That instantly came to my mind. So, but hey, it's open phones right now. We've got folks waiting on the line. Rick is up first. Rick, good morning, and thanks for holding. Go ahead, please, sir.
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. Hey, I was reading this morning where we have a senator from Connecticut, Chris Murphy. He's actively posting that he's glad that Iran is somehow breaking the blockade that Trump has set up. And it reminds me of the Soviet Union think it was Khrushchev that said that we'll kill ourselves from inside. And apparently we do have some politicians and some local callers that are going down that same road as Khrushchev. And I find it really sad that people's memories over 47 years, almost probably 50 years now, that kicking the can down the road just meant kicking the can down the road. Anyway, I just, the unpatriotic drums of some of our senators in the opposing party are getting very, very loud. And I was just wondering what our other callers had to think about a senator that would make comments like that.
Well, that's what Open Phones is all about, and thank you for the call. We're going to get Ed up next. Ed, good morning, sir. You're on TalkBack. It's Open Phones. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, changing it to some state-level stuff here. There was a report a few days ago that Bodner, candidate Bodner for the Senate seat, has raised $1.36 million.
Wow.
Okay. So looks like he's a serious candidate. Alma had raised only 900 and some thousand, but that might be a shorter money raising period. I'm not sure about that, but it looks like Bodner is serious, and Republicans better watch out for him.
Well, now who is in the Republican ranks that did you think that could beat Bodner once he gets on the ballot?
Well, let's see. I think Bodner is on the ballot as an independent.
Right. Oh, okay. I see. Yeah, I got you.
As an independent.
Okay.
So well, he's going to be there.
Yeah, I hear you. Well, I should have remembered that, but thank you. Thanks for sharing that.
Sure enough.
Appreciate it, Ed. Thanks for the call. And Sandy, standing by. Hey, Sandy, good morning. How are you? Good to hear from you.
Good morning. Yeah, great to listen to you guys every day. I just wanted to let everyone know that somewhere in Minnesota, there was a restaurant that would give out free meals to elected officials that sat down for a meal with someone from the opposite party.
Wow.
So if any restaurant owner in Montana is listening, I think that would be a fascinating way to get folks to be more civil.
I think that's a great idea. I wonder.
And if it happened when I was elected, I get free meals all the time because I didn't have much choice.
Well, I'm wondering... Yeah, well, the nasty part of my brain is like, well, make sure that you're sure what you're eating before you do that. I mean, you know what I mean?
Oh, you got to have hope in the world, Peter.
I know. Shame on me. All right. Sandy, always a pleasure to hear your voice, ma'am.
Thank you. You guys have a good one.
And thank you. Hey, we are going to have a quick commercial break coming up in a moment, and I want to give Jeff plenty of time to make his point. The phone lines are open, by the way, until 8:30. It's Open Phones from now until 8:30. At that point, Art Wittick will be joining us. He's the chair of the Montana Grand Old Party, the Republican Party, and he will be until 2027. And then in the 9 o'clock hour, we're going to be talking with James Brown, Montana's state auditor and commissioner of insurance. So lots going on Talk Back today. And we look forward to talking with those individuals. And of course, you giving us a call for those individuals. So we'll be right back after this quick timeout. Stay with us.
Tens of millions of tickets.
Tens of millions of tickets.
Tens of millions of tickets.
Thank you, VetTix. Thank you.
Thank you, FirstTix.
Thank you, VetTix and FirstTix.
Thanks to your support, the nonprofits VetTix and FirstTix have given away tens of millions of tickets and counting to vets currently serving military, the immediate family of troops killed in action, and our brave, current, and former first responders. These tickets are a meaningful way to say thank you to America's heroes and help them re-engage with American life by giving them free, fun experiences and new happy memories that'll last a lifetime. And now, we want you to be part of the mission. Got extra tickets to concerts, games, or special events? Or want to see if you qualify? We want you to go to vettix.org and firsttix.org today. Give something to those who gave.
Hey, we're back. This is Talk Back. Open phones for another 7 minutes or so. Jeff has been waiting very patiently. Hey, Jeff, good morning. What's on your mind? Go ahead, please.
Hey, good morning, Peter. Good morning, Montana. I turned on my sprinkler system a week ago. I haven't actually run it except for we have taps, faucets that sit out further away from the house that run off the sprinkler system network. So I needed water out there. On your sprinkler system, you don't need to worry about anything really except that the backflow protector
right.
that's outside.
Right.
Nothing's going to freeze in the ground. You know, you might get temperatures dropping down into the 20s, so you might want to flip the two screws on that. But anybody who's got their sprinkler system charged, I wouldn't worry about it except for the backflow protector. And even that, maybe you just want to put bag over it or some foam or something to stop it from, you know, getting a hard freeze. So, and then you were talking about the train derailment out there in near Frenchtown. I don't know if you remember or not, but about 15 years ago, it wasn't a train that that hit somebody, but there was a train that derailed along the
right
along the Clark Fork,
and all those fuselages went into the river. Right? Yeah.
Yeah. Both trains were carrying the big the Boeing fuselage. So kind of an interesting coincidence that the big train accident seemed to be with trains with Boeing stuff on them.
Well, we have planes, trains, and automobiles. So, yeah. Like there's a movie in there somewhere. I'm sorry.
yeah. Okay. Planes, trains, and trucks. I think. Wasn't it?
I think so. Probably more appropriate. Yeah.
Yeah. All righty. Well, have a great one. I'll probably call in later.
Sounds good, Jeff. Thanks so much for the call. We appreciate it. And again, coming up in just a few minutes, we're going to be visiting with Art Wittig. He's the chair of the Montana Republican Party. And he'll be joining us until 9. And James Brown is going to be joining us. James is the Montana State Auditor and Commissioner of Insurance. So lots going on. And we appreciate Nick getting our guests on. But right now, it's open phones for another few minutes. It's 721-1290 or 1-800-568-5309. And so if there's something on your mind this morning, something going on in your life, maybe there's a particular political race you're looking at that you want to talk about, hey, give us a call. We'd love to chat about it with you. That's what Open Phones is all about. Or if there's something going on in Missoula you'd like people to know about, just pick up the phone. Give us a call at 721-1290 or 1-800-568-5309. And that's what we're doing right now. So,
in lieu of calls, talk about...
Please do.
Gas prices... I did a story yesterday about how between last week and now that prices were unchanged in Montana, which was refreshing. But I did see driving in today that a lot of stations in Missoula were at $3.96. So they did obviously go up overnight, or I guess at some point yesterday. But yeah, prices in Montana have been kind of going up a lot, and obviously everywhere. But
pretty much around $4.
No, like I said, it's $3.96 now.
Right,
it was $3.87 before that.
Oh, I
so
see,
we're
I
not
you.
At $4, yeah. But the national average fell 9.4 cents. Everyone was all excited, and but then I guess the relief may not last long because oil prices surged in Sunday night trading after Iran reclosed the Strait of Hormuz.
Oh yeah, that's right.
And President Trump signaled further escalation if Tehran does not come to an agreement. So with global oil flows remaining at risk, the continued back and forth is making any like lasting resolution increasingly fragile. And they said gas prices are likely to rise again in the days ahead, which they did. And some more increases probably in the next 24 to 48 hours. So we got a little bit of relief, but now it's probably going back up.
Now, I remember hearing over and over again from the president that the United States is the leader in the world in producing oil and gas. And so if that's true, why are we worried about what's happening in Iran if we are capable of, you know, basically taking care of our own needs here? I'm just throwing it out there.
I think you answered your own question.
Yeah. I'm just wondering why in the world that's a problem if, you know, the United States is doing very, very well in that department. Let's just use our own gas and let them worry about their own.
We have Mark on the line.
Mark, good morning, sir. You're on TalkBack. What's up? Go ahead, please.
Good morning, guys. Say, I wanted to go back a few years. There was an Afghan immigrant in Missoula that was accused of sexual assault in town about after the time that we left Afghanistan.
I remember that, yes. And
do you know what happened to that? It just kind of died, or I didn't get the result of all that. Do you have any idea what happened with that?
I'm sorry to say, I do not remember.
Okay. Well, I was just, I don't know, I even know who to call or who to ask, I guess. But when you do your Friday afternoon report with the guys, I wonder if they'd answer the question.
Possibly. You never know. Thank you. Thanks for bringing that to our attention. We appreciate it. Well, I'll tell you what. We are coming up against a break here, and then we're going to be visiting with Art Wittick. He's the chair of the Montana Republican Party, and he will be for this next year, in fact. So if you have a question for Art, I would encourage you to get in the queue at 721-1290 or 1-800-568-5309 so that we can get you on with Art. And then, of course, in the 9 o'clock hour, as I mentioned, we'll be visiting with James Brown, Montana's state auditor and commissioner of insurance. So all that is coming up here in just a moment. So hope you'll stay with us here on TalkBack. And again, the number is 721-1290.
It's another crazy week for April. Turnaround weather in Montana will go from the warmest day of the year with a high in the mid-80s Tuesday back to possible snow showers. By week's end, the transition starts this evening, especially in northwest Montana, with increasing clouds and then rain developing before noon Wednesday. About a 90% chance of rain. It could be heavy at times, anywhere from a quarter of an inch to half an inch through this storm. Highs Tuesday in the 60s, back in the 50s Thursday, the 40s on Wednesday with snow showers, at least from pass level and above.
This is your captain. We are going to be experiencing some slight turbulence. Please fasten your... Oh, hold on. Just got a video of my cat.
Imagine the pilot of an airplane was as confident as you are texting and driving. Seems kind of crazy when you put it like that.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Hey, we're back. This is Talk Back. I'm Peter Christian, Nick Christensen, taking your phone calls this morning at 721-1290 or 1-800-568-5309. We are delighted to welcome Art Wittick, the chair of the Montana Republican Party, here on the phone with us for the next half hour or so. Hey, Art, good morning and welcome once again, sir.
Good morning, Peter. How are you?
Doing fantastic and so glad to have you on this morning, sir. So if you wouldn't mind, just tell us what's going on with the Republican Party here in the state of Montana. What's the state of the union, if you will?
Yeah, well, the state of the state is things are pretty darn busy. I'm in Bozeman this morning. We're going to have a congressional debate. You know, when Congressman Zinke decided to retire, we have an abundance of riches in candidates. We have three really great candidates who jumped into that race. And two of them, Dr. Al Olchevsky and Aaron Flint, agreed to debate. And so we're holding the debate here in Bozeman. And if people want to come over, we may have a few extra seats. They can go on to our website and register to attend. It starts at 6. So that's going to be interesting. It may be the only debate in that primary race, but we at least wanted to give the candidates a chance to, you know, talk to Republican voters about, you know, what they see as priorities. And we're going to try to live stream it on our Facebook, but you know how that goes with
yes.
technology, right? So the best way to do it is to, you know, just come on over. I know it's a pretty good drive for most of the people in your listening audience. But so that's a pretty big deal, and we're looking forward to that. And then I don't know if you saw, but there's been some recent press. We found out that there is a Democrat-funded group with Democrat staffers, and it's called Fireweed Strategies out of Helena. And we found out that a number of our Republican legislative candidates and Republican county officials, believe it or not, are part of this scheme to move money around and get it to certain primary candidates in the Republican primary. So we, the board took action on that, and we've publicized that. We're starting to get people criticizing us for the term, Peter, is we're meddling in the primary, which is so fascinating to me because, you know, Montana has party primaries, and that's how you nominate the party candidate for the general election. That's on June 2nd. So the Republican has a primary. The Republicans have a primary. And yet when the party wants to raise issues and vet candidates and talk about people that we see that are aligned with us that support the party, somehow we're criticized as meddling in the primary. But it's quite all right for the Democrat Party to meddle in our primary. And it's almost as if the only party that's, you know, supposedly allowed is the Democrats. And in fact, we just saw something from Madison County. Believe it or not, Madison County Democrat Party sends out a public posting that they're encouraging their members to go knock doors for a Republican legislative candidate in Madison County.
Really?
I mean, yeah, I mean, so now it's just out in the open, it's brazen, and it just boggles my mind that, you know, when the Republican Party wants to, you know, look into this and do something about it, somehow we're criticized. So anyway, it's been an interesting couple of weeks with all those types of developments. And
well, you know, it sounds like the old expression, with friends like this, who needs enemies, right? I mean, it's like,
I could not have said it better. Yeah.
thank you so much for caring so deeply about the party that you're trying to oust from power. So anyway,
it's also not just promoting certain candidates in their races. The fact is that many of these same candidates are passing and voting on Democrat priorities while they're in the legislature. So it's an unvirtuous cycle, right? It's not just the Democrats, you know, trying to affect our primary. It's these people, some of them have served in the legislature, they're incumbents, and they've made Democrat priorities, you know, bigger government, more welfare, more spending. They've made those, you know, Democrat priorities their own, and that's frankly how some of these silly things have passed.
Wow.
So it's nutty.
Well, I'll tell you what, we're coming up against a break here, and we have Skip, Harry, and Jeff all waiting very anxiously to visit with you, Art. Art Wittig joining us on the phone this morning, chair of the Montana Republican Party, will be for this next year or so. And so the phone lines are open at 721-1290 or 1-800-568-5309. We are going to come right back with more with Art right after this quick timeout.
75 years of research.
75 years of policy.
75 years of opportunity.
75 years of freedom.
This is 75 years of the Muscular Dystrophy Association.
Join us at mda75.org.
Hey, we're back on TalkBack. 721-1290 is our number. I'm Peter Christian, Nick Christensen. Taking your phone calls this morning. We got a lot of them for Art Wittig. Skip is up first. Skip, good morning. What's your question for Art Wittig? Go ahead, please.
Yeah, thank you, Peter. And thanks for coming on, Art. Thanks for telling us about that debate. I wanted to find out. I think you said Al, and I wanted to hear, is it Al and Aaron only, and Christy Jacobson is not going to be in that debate? That was just a quick question. But the other thing is, something I keep hearing about in all of the soap opera and soup of what's going on in the Republican Party in Montana right now has to do with you. And I thought, well, I'll just ask the man so that it can be cleared up. And it has to do with your residency, either Florida or Montana, when you were running for chairman of GOP, and what it is now. And I thought, you know, I'll just throw an open question out there to you about, so you can clear it up and tell us all, where's your real residency? Where was it when you were running for chairman? And everybody will know exactly the truth right from you, what's going on with some of those technicalities.
All right. But
please tell me about that debate.
Thanks for the call. Go ahead, please.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, the two things Skip brought up. Yes, Christy Jacobson, all of them were invited. Christy had a scheduling conflict and couldn't make it. And so the two people that will be at the debate are Dr. Al Olszewski and Aaron Flint. I expect them to be lively and civil. And as far as the residency thing, this has been something that has been thrown out by my detractors. I mean, I'm still getting calls from people that don't like being called out as working with the Democrats that I should resign. So there are a number of people in the party a number of people that don't want me there. But how this process works is we have a state central committee made up of people from all over the state, all the counties. Okay. Last June, there was a convention. People can nominate whoever they want to be an officer. And then there's a vote, and there's about 200 people voting. So all this stuff came up by my detractors. I can tell you I went to school at Missoula. I've lived in Butte and Helena, Bozeman, was in Bozeman for about 25 years. I'm now a resident of Whitefish, have been for the last 4 years. I do spend some time in the winter fishing down in Florida, and I'm quite blessed to be able to do that. But I own a home in Montana. I own business in Montana. I own property in Montana. I pay a lot of taxes in Montana. So, Skip, you can rest assured that I know quite a bit about Montana. I've been here. I'm 68. Have lived here virtually all my life. When I got out of the military, I moved here and went to school. So, I just think that those are cheap shots. And, it's not the real issues. It's not the real issues we need to talk about.
Gotcha. Let's get Harry on the line. Harry, good morning, sir. You are on Talk Back with Art Wittig. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, good morning, Art. Yeah, first of all, just comment. Yeah, I'm shocked that party politics are playing games. That's just shocking. But anyway, I'm wondering, are any of the candidates going to be on this radio? Do you know? I mean, I made a prediction, and unfortunately it came true that after Sheehy was elected, he wouldn't come back on, and he hasn't, so unfortunately. But I'm curious, do you know if they're planning on coming onto this radio? And also, I'm sort of jumping way ahead, but the next governor election, I'm predicting that Knudsen will be running. I have no doubt about that. I'm wondering, do you have any idea if Zinke might, or even Daines? I don't understand why he quit. He was way up the high in the power, and people usually don't give up that power unless they plan on something or there's something in the shadows that they don't want brought out. But I'm just curious, do you know anything about that?
Wow.
I really don't. Your question is about 2028, which is an eternity in politics, right? And so we have to get through the 2026 cycle. And as far as are those candidates for the congressional race in 2026 going to get on this radio show, I have no idea.
Nick might have a comment.
Yeah, I think I might know as the producer of the show.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right now, I have Ryan Bussey and Russ Cleveland scheduled from the Democrat side. And then on the Republican side, we already have Christy Jacobson and Dr. Al scheduled. I sent a message out to Almy's scheduler. I have not heard back from him. And we will get Aaron on once we can find a time to get it on the schedule. But otherwise, everybody, we're going to try to get everybody on and try to get Bodner on as well.
And I'm sure Aaron.
Yeah, I mean, that's,
go ahead, please.
Yeah, that's good for the candidate, right? They should be trying to get their word out in their campaign as much as they can, right? And you guys offer a great medium for candidates to do that. So I assume that, they'll be doing that. And I think it's good for your listeners to be able to hear from them directly and how they differ from their, the people that are running against them.
Well, that's the essence of a state, a small state like, a small populated state like Montana, is that it's big distances and not very many people. And so to have somebody on the radio accepting calls like you are right now, that is very, very important to people to be able to find out, to feel you out for what your views are.
Yeah, exactly. So it's, and 2028 will, as far as all the speculation and all the, all the inside baseball, I don't think anybody knows what the slate will be for 2028. I mean, look, it wasn't until March 4th that we knew what the slate was going to look like for 2026, right? So, things change all the time, and we'll deal with that when we come to it.
Well, we do have a hard break coming up here in just a moment, and we have Jeff waiting on the line. So I'm going to give him, we're going to take our commercial break here in just about 30 seconds or so. But then we'll get Jeff's call, and we have a few other lines open for Art Wittig. He'll be with us until the top of the hour. And then we'll be talking with James Brown, Montana State Auditor and Commissioner of Insurance. So lots going on here on TalkBack. Again, our number, 721-1290, 1-800-568-5309. And we will be back with Art Wittig, taking questions and calls from folks when we return right after this quick timeout here on KGVO. Hope you'll stay with us. Hey, if you're waking up. Hey, we are back on TalkBack. Thanks for joining us this morning. And we're privileged to have Art Wittig joining us, the chair of the Montana Republican Party. And let's get Jeff on the line with a question. So, Jeff, good morning. Go ahead, please.
Hey, good morning, Art. Two quick comments and then a question. First of all, thanks for clearing up that whole kerfuffle, I guess is the best way to call it, about your background. I think some folks try to take advantage of certain things. And second of all, some folks call what has gone on recently in the Montana Republican Party a purity test. I don't see it as a purity test at all. I see it as an integrity check. And part of the process of running for office is you declare yourself as a member of a party. And if you are a member of a party, then you agree that you will vote with that party unless it is absolutely something against your conscience. But everything can't be against your conscience. Otherwise, you're not with the right party. So I don't see what you're doing at all as a purity test. I see it as an integrity check. And those two are completely distinct, separate, and shouldn't be confused with one another. My question is around the Almy candidacy and the Danes withdrawal. When Congressman Zinke said that he wasn't going to run and he decided to endorse Aaron Flint, I don't like that because I don't think a candidate should interfere with the primary process, but that's his right. That's not an integrity issue. What Senator Daines did, and seems to me, is an integrity issue because there were minutes between the time that he decided he was not going to run and Kurt Almy said that put his hat in. I mean, mere minutes, and even the sequence of which one came first has been reported differently. And that's an integrity issue for me. I don't like what Senator Daines did, and I don't know, as I read the accounts, it appears that Governor Gianforte, Senator Sheehy, and definitely President Trump were in on this. And it's a way to circumvent what the Montana Republican Party does, which is hold primaries. and it took away the right of the Montana voters to make that decision. Kurt Almy is probably a great candidate. I don't have anything against him. My problem is with avoiding the process, circumventing the process, acting, again, without integrity, and going behind the backs of the voters and making a smoke-filled room decision. And I just wanted to know if you had anything to say about that whole process.
All right, Jeff, thanks for the call. Go ahead, please, sir.
Yeah, I mean, Jeff, you brought up a couple of things, but when we're attacked for having a purity test, you use the word integrity. I use the word honesty. You know, if you're going to run as a Republican, in Montana you have the right to self-declare as a Republican, then the Republican Party should have the right to look at your background and look at what you think is important. And it's about the honesty of your votes. And the Republican Party is about lower taxes and less government. It's pretty simple stuff. And when you see some of these candidates that are trying to, you know, take votes that don't do that, then you have to question it. And we, in fact, had an honor roll of candidates who have supported the party and its platform in the past, and we did publicize that. It's on our website. About Senator Daines' issue, I can tell you that many other people share your concern, Jeff. What I can tell you is when we had the opportunity to, I think there are just a lot of great candidates in the Republican Party. We have a deep, deep bench, clearly different than the Democrat Party. In fact, when the Democrats field a candidate, as we've seen with Seth Bodner, they tell him to run as an independent because their party label's so toxic. The Republican Party isn't like that. We have a lot of great candidates. It would have been nice, you know, if some of those candidates would have had the chance to make their case to the voters. They are doing that in the congressional race, which is why we're here in Bozeman tonight for that debate. You know, I do know Kurt, and I think that he will be great. He's a good guy, classy guy, and he's working really hard right now to introduce himself to all of Montana, and I've encouraged him to do that. So, but I can tell you your concern, you know, is not just you. Other people share that, and we'll just, you know, do the best that we can to get people elected that share our beliefs. So
now I'm sure that those individuals did not reach out to every single Republican and say, this is what we're going to be doing, because that would have defeated the purpose of what they did. Now, am I wrong on that?
You mean like, yeah. Did Senator Daines
right.
call people?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I don't know who he spoke to. I know it wasn't me. I think it came as a surprise for many, many people.
Right.
You know, he must have had his reasons. I respect him. He's been a very good vote in the Senate for America. So, you know, but at this point, that decision is made by somebody else. And you know, we just move on and make sure that we have a House and a Senate that, you know, is America first and you know, supporting the country we love.
Well, Art, it is always a pleasure to have you on the show. We appreciate it. Any contact information real quick about the website where we can find out more?
Yeah, mtgop.org. It has all of our resolutions. And if people can make it over to Bozeman tonight, I encourage them to do that. You know, we're all about working towards the primary on June 2nd. And then after that, the general in November. So
all right.
You take care, Peter.
You too, Art. Thanks so much. And James Brown coming up in the next.
This is TalkBack, 721-1290 or 1-800-568-5309.
This is News Talk KGVO, AM 1290 and 98.3 FM. KGVO.
Missoula's news and weather station.
Good morning once again, everyone. Welcome back to the Tuesday, April 21st edition of Talkback. It's hour number two. And Talkback this morning brought to you by Gomer's Diesel, diesel repair parts and service in Missoula. Call Gomer's 728-7620. All these are 406 numbers. Busy Bees Cleaning Service, commercial cleaning you can trust. For a free estimate, call Busy Bees 550-3219. Bruckner's Truck and Equipment, heavy duty truck sales, parts and service. Call Bruckner's at 541-9097. Quality Seamless Gutters offers expert gutter installation and repair. Call Quality Seamless Gutters for a free quote at 728-4002. And by Y West Storage, secure flexible self storage in Missoula. Call Y West and reserve your unit today at 510-0590.
The views and opinions expressed on TalkBack are not those of the staff, management, or advertisers.
Welcome back, everybody. Good to have you along. A brand new hour. Of course, Mr. Nick Christensen right over there. Good morning again, Mr. Nick.
Good morning.
And we are always privileged to have with us James Brown, the Montana State Auditor and Commissioner of Insurance. Jim, good morning, sir. And it's always a pleasure to have you on the show. How are you?
I'm doing good. I'm doing good. Or should I say, I feel good. Always great to be on the show.
Well, I'm sure everybody has gotten that. Yeah, all right. So let's talk a little bit about what you've been up to. I'd like to take the first segment here to give you an opportunity to talk about the things that you're doing and the things that you're working on for the people of Montana. So if you could go ahead and do that for it, please.
You bet. Well, we're a busy little office, I would say. I'm sure your listeners have seen a lot of the good work that we've been doing lately. But the place I'm starting these days is to talk about how much I saved Montana Insurance customers and consumers in the last month. In March of 2026, my office denied $87,369 in unjustified premium increases for over 200 Montanans. So over the course of the 15 months that I've been Commissioner of Insurance, I've denied about $24 million in unjustified rate increases on Montanans. And so some good news there. And then you may have seen or heard that we won a major court case recently. Blue Cross Blue Shield had sued my agency to stop our investigation into the data breach that impacted some 462,000 Montanans, which is literally one-third of the state.
Right.
Blue Cross Blue Shield filed a lawsuit in Helena asking a judge to shut our investigation down, and I'm pleased to say that we just got a favorable decision from the court saying clearly I, as the state commissioner of insurance, has the authority to investigate licensed insurance companies in Montana and to make sure they're following the law. So that was a big win for Montanans and my role as the watchdog for Montanans when it comes to dealing with insurance companies.
Now, Jim, what's been the progress of that investigation so far? Is it just scratching the surface now, or do you have more things to you'd like to share with us?
Yeah, well, we were moving along at a pretty good clip in our internal investigation until the lawsuit was filed in January, and right. Then that slowed us down significantly. Prior to the lawsuit being filed, we had actually started administrative investigative proceedings against the company to find out what happened and how large the data breach was in terms of the information provided. We know the number of Montanans impacted. We actually held a hearing, which the attorneys for Blue Cross Blue Shield participated in. We were a little disappointed, I think, in that they were not forthcoming with the information we were looking for. So we had started the process. I got kind of put on hold. It's back on, and now we're moving full forward. So where this will go from here is we'll complete our investigation at the agency. David Sanders, who's my chief of staff, who I think is going to be on the show tomorrow, is the one that I appointed to lead up this effort. And then what he'll do is he'll make findings, recommendations as to whether the law was violated. And if it was, what the amount of the penalty was, and then he'll present that to me, and I'll make a final decision.
Fantastic. We are up against a break. By the way, the phone lines are open if you have a question for James Brown, Montana State Auditor and Commissioner of Insurance. Get on the phone, give us a call, 721-1290 or 1-800-568-5309. We're coming right back with more right after this.
Cold and
it's another crazy week for April. Turnaround weather in Montana will go from the warmest day of the year with a high in the mid-80s Tuesday back to possible snow showers. By week's end, the transition starts this evening, especially in northwest Montana, with increasing clouds and then rain developing before noon Wednesday. About a 90% chance of rain that could be heavy at times, anywhere from a quarter of an inch to half an inch through this storm. Highs Tuesday in the 60s, back in the 50s Thursday, the 40s on Wednesday with snow showers, at least from pass level and above.
Now that I'm retired, I'm worried about making ends meet. Food, medicine, and rent cost more every day. And that's why I used BenefitsCheckup.org. It connected me to an extra $1,000 a month. BenefitsCheckup.org is a free service from the National Council on Aging. In a few clicks, older adults like me can see if they might qualify for money-saving programs. If you're on a fixed income, BenefitsCheckup.org might help you too. For free, visit today.
Supported by the U.S. Administration for Community Living.
Hey, we're back. This is Talk Back. 721-1290 is our number. And, of course, on this Tuesday, April the 21st, we are thrilled to have James Brown joining us, Montana's state auditor and commissioner of insurance. And Skip has been waiting very patiently on the phone. Skip, you're on with James Brown. Go ahead, please.
Thank you, Peter. And thanks for coming on, James. And it's always a learning experience when you do. And I'm glad you and your office won that lawsuit against Blue Cross Blue Shield. And meanwhile, I thought that I would ask you something about the land board, and your office is, and you're the representative for your office for the land board in the state of Montana. And so would you please explain to us what's going on with this debacle with the national, the Prairie Reserve, and how is that going to get handled? Or if you can give us some cliff notes on it so that we know what direction it's going, and what is the specific thing that really is the essence of the problem, and how we can address it and get it settled. And you know what to just give us for cliff notes so that we all know what's going on. I appreciate it, sir.
Thanks for the call.
Yeah, I appreciate this question. So as a reminder to your listeners, five constitutional officers in the state of Montana, of which I am one, are tasked under the Montana Constitution to sit on the land board. And what we do is we manage state trust lands for the benefit of Montana schools. Talked about this before. Very pleased that we raised about $80 million for public education in 2025. Without having to raise anybody's taxes, because the way this is paid for is through productive use of land. It's a win-win-win situation. But anyway, I've been sued a lot lately, which is how you know you're over the target. Sued by Blue Cross Blue Shield for my investigation of them. Sued by Mr. Bail for suspending the license of that bail bonds company for the shooting in Missoula. And then now I've just been sued by the American Prairie Reserve for some actions I took in February at the land board meeting. And the background on this, for those that have been tracking, is the American Prairie Reserve is a nonprofit organization that's buying up ranches in central to northeast Montana. And they're trying to create basically what they call the Serengeti of the United States. Wow. and create a wild bison herd that just runs free, essentially, is their goal. And they're funded by millionaires and billionaires, mostly from out of state. But in this instance, many of them are from Europe. And so under the Biden administration, the Biden administration approved the APR to run bison on BLM allotments. The Trump administration has come in and said, nope, that was erroneous. Under the Taylor Grazing Act of 1934, only productive livestock can be used on BLM ground. It's a correct decision. So APR is now looking for other areas and to feed and run their bison on. So now they're looking at state trust properties to do that. I made a motion at the February land board meeting saying APR cannot move their bison onto state trust properties until two things happen. One is that we look at what the proper stocking rates are for purposes of charging them for use of state trust properties to fund schools.
And then the second thing is they can't move them on until the proper environmental reviews are done on that to make sure that our property, which is held in trust for the people of Montana, is not severely economically or environmentally damaged. So I got sued over that one. That is now pending, but this is something that needed to happen. I think that what we're doing as land board members, and this was unanimous among all of us, is making sure that state trust lands are properly used.
Now I know this is a little bit tongue in cheek here, but has the governor ever called you and said, "Hey, what's with all these lawsuits, man?" or does he say, "Hey, well, you're doing your job, man. They wouldn't be suing you if you weren't doing your job."
Yeah, so you can imagine the governor and I speak quite a bit. I have an excellent relationship.
Of course. Right.
I think the way that he would put it is welcome to the club, because he gets sued a lot, too.
I can understand that, yeah. All right, so let's talk about some of the other things that you're involved in, and that is, one of those things is consumer protection. I know that when it comes to insurance fraud, things like that, hail, crop insurance, things like that, many times people can get caught up in a illegal situation, and so what can they do?
Yeah, so you're right. I am tasked by the Montana legislature to be the consumer advocate for Montanans in several different areas. Insurance, obviously. Securities, like we talked about. You nailed it that I'm also on the state board of hail insurance, which is a duty most people don't know about. So then what I do is advocate for Montanans, and part of what we do there is to go out and do fraud awareness presentations, as well as fraud prevention efforts. As you probably tracked, I've started tracking the efforts of my agency, just like we were a private business, to determine metrics and performance so that I can report that both back to both the legislature and to the people of Montana. Looks like within the first quarter of 2026, working with our partners in the financial industry, Montana, we prevented nearly 1 million in fraud from even occurring. The exact number is 946,000. What that means is we focused on stopping fraudulent transactions before the funds are actually lost or sent out. This has been a shift in strategy for this agency. We've moved away under my administration from reactive enforcement to proactive prevention. And so the emphasis is, just like a healthcare provider, on early detection, intervention, and consumer education. And this is important because fraud activity is rising in Montana, unfortunately. Complaints are increasing year over year. We have seen, just in the first quarter of 2026, over 3.3 million in reported, attempted, or actual losses for Montanans in terms of fraud.
That is heartbreaking to think about that, especially when it deals with elderly folks or folks who don't have the financial means to try to fight something like that.
100%. What we talk about is that every dollar prevented is every dollar saved, obviously.
You bet.
For Montanans. Early reporting and more successful intervention are the key to stopping this.
You got it.
I stated, my agency is conducting outreach to hundreds of Montanans statewide.
We're going to come right back. We have Catherine waiting to visit with you when we return. Several other phone lines open at 721-1290. James Brown joining us. So stay with us. We'll be right back.
Montana State News Network.
I'm Dennis Bragg. Montana drivers seeing a rare moment of stability at the gas pumps this week, even as national prices gradually begin to slide. According to the latest Gas Buddy survey of over 600 stations, Montana's average gas price holding steady at $3.87 per gallon. While we've seen no major change over the last 7 days, we're still feeling the heat from the massive 36-cent jump in prices over the past month. The gap between stations is pretty wide. Drivers found regular as low as $3.49 a gallon on Sunday, while others are paying nearly $5 at the state's most expensive pumps. That, of course, for higher grades like premium and, as we mentioned, diesel. Nationally, the news is better. The average is
dipped below the $4 mark to $3.97. But according to Gas Buddy's Patrick DeHaan, that relief may be short-lived due to surging oil prices following new tensions in the Middle East. If you're heading across the border, Idaho is currently averaging $4.31 a gallon, while Wyoming remains a bargain at a $3.80 average. The annual report by the Milken Institute shows Montana's economy remaining strong here in 2026, although we're not seeing the boom happening in other parts of the Northern Rockies. The report analyzes Billings, Missoula, and Great Falls across 13 different metrics, including wage growth, but also ongoing problems like housing affordability. Some sectors are strong. Missoula, for example, has had a bit of a high-tech boom with a high-tech GDP that nearly doubled over a five-year period, one of the highest growth rates for that sector in the entire country. But the report also shows the Montana economy cooling somewhat, especially when compared with other Rocky Mountain cities, specifically Idaho Falls and Pocatello, Idaho. Idaho Falls ranks number two for small metros, Pocatello at number five, boosted by not only tech jobs, but short-term job growth. And an update on that big fire in Red Lodge. Last map on that shows about 3,000 acres that broke out quickly yesterday. Some evacuations have been ordered. Crews remain on the scene this morning. This is the Montana State News Network.
Every act of change begins with a neighbor, with someone saying,
"We take care of each other here."
In food banks and food pantries, neighbors pack fresh food and dignity into every box, moving food from farms to families through Feeding America's nationwide network. So when that box reaches a home, it carries more than food. It carries a promise that together we can end hunger. Feeding America, led by neighbors. Take action to end hunger now at feedingamerica.org.
When faced with complex challenges, there are people who come together to solve problems and transform lives. That's us. We are Rotary. We work with community partners to build green spaces for all to connect with nature and each other. We support local youth through mentorship and literacy programs. We're committed to causes that improve lives everywhere. Learn more at rotary.org/action.
Welcome back. This is Talk Back for this Tuesday, and we've got James Brown, Montana's State Auditor and Commissioner of Insurance, joining us here on the phone. And Catherine is waiting with a question. So, Catherine, good morning. You're on with Mr. Brown. Go ahead.
I wanted to go back to American Prairie and ask you, are they active not only in Montana, but in Idaho, Wyoming, North Dakota, South Dakota, in that area, and maybe even Texas? And if they are, have you considered working with groups opposing them from other states?
Yeah, that's a great question. I am not aware of their activities outside of Montana. I think this particular iteration is focused on Montana and creating a nature reserve in central Montana specifically. And the other thing I want to make clear in my answer on this is I'm not taking a position to attack the American Prairie Reserve per se, because if they buy private property and use it how they want, then that's their absolute right to do it. The question becomes, or the intersection becomes, where they determine to use state trust lands for their benefit, which might not be in the interests of the rest of the Montanans that were tasked with both protecting and the schools that were required to raise money for.
Well, it does say that in this article that I'm reading, it says that they have 436,587 leased acres of public land right now. And so what, they're trying to expand that also?
Yes, that's exactly right. So what they do, what their model is that they buy up existing historic ranches in Montana, and those ranches would come, in theory and in practice, with both federal leases and state leases. And so the way the lease system works is that you have what's called a base property to which the leases attach. And so if the American Prairie Reserve buys up a ranch, which is the base property, and the base property has leases both on federal and state land, then in theory, the APR accedes to those leases.
Okay. Well, there might be, I don't know if there are, but there might be other organizations that are affiliated with American Prairie in other states. And I don't know, I would think that maybe it would be worthwhile to reach out and see what's happening there. You know, because it's easier to actually get something done when you affiliate with other organizations because this is not just Montana where this is going on, I don't believe. So.
Well, I appreciate those comments. I'll take a look into that. But what I'm aware of is their bison conservation project in Montana.
Catherine, thank you. And Harry is standing by. Harry, good morning. You're on TalkBack. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, good morning, James. On to this Prairie League thing, I'm just curious. I have no problem with, you know, you holding them to the same standards, but I'm wondering, is that the same standards you have for everybody who ever leases land? I mean, do you have, you know, the same thing for anybody who wants to release land, or is it just something now that we're, you know, putting on them? And also, when you're talking about the trust land, that is it when you look at whether is it the making the money more important than, say, environmental degradation, or is it just, you know, how do you figure that out?
Yeah, thank you. Those are both great questions. I really appreciate it. So I'll start with the last question first, and then I'll go to the first question last. So how I act as a land board member is pretty well defined by the Montana Constitution. In fact, it's actually defined in the compact, which is a written agreement between the territory of the state of Montana and Congress in 1889, as to the conditions put on the state of Montana when it became a state of the Union. And the federal government, when it granted lands to the state of Montana, designated certain lands be set aside for use to raise money for schools. And so under that agreement with Congress and the Montana Constitution and the Supreme Court decisions interpreting that for the last 130 years, my number one duty is to try to raise as much revenue as I can for public education in Montana. That's my top priority. But over time, some of the case law and some state statutes have said that part of our decision-making as the land board is we can look at conservation type purposes as an appropriate use of state trust lands. And so that kind of guides my decision making. It's pretty easy then to make decisions based under that context. Back to the question, are we targeting the American Prairie Reserve, I think is the thrust of that, or bison per se? No, it isn't. What my motion did was basically say that when the regulations that define how much the stocking rate is for livestock on state lands and what we charge ranchers or livestock producers, it didn't contemplate bison as a use of this, as you can imagine, because these were made at a time when livestock per se was the primary use of these lands. And so it also didn't, when these laws were made, they didn't do the environmental reviews of the impact that bison may have on state trust lands like they did cattle. So what my motion did was basically say, you know, we need to modernize our rules and regulations to make sure that these bison are being charged appropriately for their weight, because they're bigger animals than a cow is, if you will. And the second thing is we need to determine what the actual environmental impact is. So it's not treating them differently. It's treating them as they should be treated, and that we're reviewing a new species.
You bet. Equitably. And that's a good way to put that. We're going to come right back. James Brown joining us for another half hour. And we'll have Jeff's call when we come back. 721-1290 is our number. Be right back.
Being a family caregiver can be rewarding, but it can also be expensive. Search caregiver compensation programs at the AARP Foundation Paid for Care Hub, developed with support from United Healthcare. Visit paidforcare.aarpfoundation.org.
The impact of a meal goes well beyond feeding our bodies, because when people are fed, futures are nourished. And with your help, together we can end hunger. Join the movement at feedingamerica.org/act now. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Hey, welcome back to Talk Back. 721-1290 is our number, and we are thrilled to have James Brown, Montana's State Auditor and Commissioner of Insurance, on the phone. And Jeff has been waiting quite a while. Jeff, good morning, sir. You are on. Go ahead, please.
Good morning, James. Good to talk to you again. And I have a two questions. The first one is, we still haven't had any title theft in Montana, right?
I think we answered this last time. I told you I talked to the title company, and they estimated that there was about 160,000 of that.
Well, of title issues or actual theft? I'm sorry. I must have misunderstood what you said.
Yeah. So what they were telling me, as you recall, is where. They're seeing the fraud is when the monies are transferred for payments to transfer title. Fraudsters are grabbing that money at the point of the title transfer, and that's about $160,000. As to change of property, if that's what you're referring to, like actually changing the title on the property itself, yes, nobody's reported that to me at this point.
Yeah, that's the one I reference because the other one I imagine that there's folks are ingenious. Fraudsters are ingenious, which brings me to my actual question for you. I listened to a radio show on Saturdays out of Denver that drive radio that talks about cars, and one of the things they said this past week was don't ever use Zelle or Venmo or anything else to send money to somebody because you don't know who's on the other end. And I wholeheartedly support that. I mean, you know, the use of online transfers, as I don't need to tell you, it has exploded. And it's an avenue for fraud across a whole bunch of different things, Craigslist and other places. But is there any issue if I'm selling something and somebody sends me money via Venmo or Zelle? I did that up here with a jet ski that I sold to a guy. He was in town. He just sent it via PayPal, actually. And I checked. It showed up in my account. We signed the papers, and off he went. And I didn't think anything about it because he had sent me money. I had not requested it. And everything seemed copacetic. But this guy on the radio seemed to think that there's some risks around doing that as well, that they might be able to pull the money back or fraudulently deposit money that will get pulled back. And can you speak to that?
Well, that's interesting as to the last point. I hadn't thought through that portion of it, whether or not them sending you money is a form of fraud that they can pull back. We've seen that in other types of scams, if you will. But I would say this, the thing that I am aware of, and I'm glad you brought it up on the air, is that Zelle... As I'm very aware that Zelle has become a target for various scams. Estimated losses for Zelle through Zelle is over $1 billion over the last 6-year period.
Wow.
It's absolutely incredible. And the way that generally works is that it's an impersonation scam or fake listing scam. And the scammers will often pose as the bank representative. And then they instruct people to send money to verify their account. of course, the bank would never ask you to transfer money via Zelle, so that's a tell. And then what Mr. Cheetah was talking about here, often fraudsters create these fake listings on Craigslist or Facebook Marketplace and then insist on payment through Zelle. And then, of course, you send that money and then it disappears. But I'd have to look, Jeff, more into the portion where somebody may send you some money with the idea of pulling it back.
Yeah, because I know in the old days of counterfeit cashier's checks, people would send you a check with over amount, ask you to send them some back. And then the check would prove to be fraudulent and they would want the bank would want their money back, which, of course, you don't have anymore because you sent it on. So, you know, accepting money via paper, I agree wholeheartedly, but it seems like PayPal, Zen, Venmo, all those types of transfers, they're instantaneous, and I think the company guarantees them. So I just didn't see a risk in accepting money. But I told them that I would ask, since I have this access that I'm completely grateful for, to state officials, including you, once a month or so, where I can ask these questions of you and get answers from a state perspective. So I appreciate it.
Thanks for the call. And we have about, we'll go ahead and take our commercial break. 721-1290 is our number, 1-800-568-5309. And again, Susan is waiting on the line. Susan, if you'll hang on, we will get your call right after the break. We're talking, of course, today with James Brown. He's Montana's state auditor and commissioner of insurance. So he wears a lot of hats and does a lot of hard work. So we're going to continue our conversation with James when we come back here in just a moment. Again, a number 721-1290 or 1-800-568-5309. And we will be back with more with James Brown after this very quick timeout. Please stay with us.
Attention.
Hey, we are back. This is Talkback. Peter Christian here. Nick Christensen taking your phone calls this morning, producing Talkback. Our guest on the phone is Montana State Auditor and Commissioner of Insurance James Brown. And Susan has been waiting through the break. Susan, thanks for holding. Go ahead, please.
Hey there. Mr. James Brown, as in the song. I do feel good, by the way. This is Susan Campbell Renault. I do want to ask, and I always do, and I want an update from you about homeowners insurance. I am paying a ghastly amount of homeowners insurance. It works out to about $300 per month for my homeowner's insurance. And the reason is that it's the cost of replacement, because the cost of replacement has skyrocketed so high with materials that and a lot of homeowners don't even check their homeowner's insurance, and they just assume that their insurance is covering the cost of replacement, and so they are underinsured. And I looked at my insurance about a year and a half ago, and I was shocked to find out that my house would not be replaced with what I had coverage for. And my insurance is, for just my house, about $300 to $350 per month for replacement, because the cost to replace a house is a minimum of $250 per square foot.
Wow.
So, yeah. And a lot of people don't realize that with their homeowners insurance. They are underinsured. So can you comment on that? Because I happen to have USAA of my husband, mostly my father's involvement with the Marines, but comment on the replacement situation and how that impacts, and is there any relief in sight, which I know the problem, the answer is probably no, but I will get off the phone now because I'm mumbling.
Oh. All right, Susan, thanks for the call. Jim, go ahead, please. Good question.
Well, Susan, that was a great call. I think your comments were right on point. In fact, I wouldn't have otherwise stole my thunder in answering that. Yeah, one of the things that many Montana consumers don't realize is that insurance coverage is based on replacement cost for the value of your house. And as we've talked about on the show before, you know, many Montanans may have bought their house in the 1980s for $80,000, and all of a sudden their house is worth $800,000 in 2026. What the insurance company is looking to do is to ensure the value of having to replace the house, that, for example, if it burns down. The value isn't $80,000 like you paid for it in the 80s. It's $800,000 in 2026, and, of course, that's going to drive up the amount of the premium. We talked about this before. The number one thing that I'd recommend for people in this space is to work with your local insurance agency or agent to find if there's a better insurance product for you that might be more cost effective for you. The second thing is that I would always tell people that
what you should be shopping for is not necessarily the cost of the policy. It's the coverage that you need for your property, which is what you were talking about, Susan. What I'm trying to do is to encourage competition in the market here in Montana to ensure that there's adequate insurers that want to do business in Montana that can provide coverage, because competition is always the best way to lower rates. But as you stated, Susan, there's two things that I can't control in relation to insurance costs. One is Montana's become a destination state for folks, which is driving up the cost of property. And nothing I can do for that. And the second thing is that people are creating their own problems in many cases in terms of their homeowners insurance, because they're building into what's known as the WUI, which is the Wildland Urban Interface, which is the, for purposes of insurance rating and risk, is the highest risk for insurance companies to take on. And so many Montanans are experiencing increases in their homeowners insurance because of where they're buying property or they're building property.
Now, I will ask you this. We've had some talks with a gentleman who wants to help us remodel our kitchen, right? And so when you're talking about a remodel, whether it's of a kitchen or of an entire home remodel, you have to take into consideration how it's going to increase the value of your house when it comes to insurance, right?
Yeah, not only insurance, but for also your property taxes, which is nefarious,
right?
In and of itself, right? I mean, it's... I mean, this is a whole different discussion. But what really bothers me as a native Montanan is that the way our property tax system works, as we know, is it punishes those that seek to improve their property. Right? It's a perverse incentive.
Right. I guess there's a delicate balancing act there of trying to keep your home up to date and improved and making it look nice without doing overboard to the point where you are egregiously taxed.
Yeah, that is a delicate dance. I mean, I'm personally experiencing this because the home I grew up in Dillon is an old Victorian house from the late 19th century. And I did a complete rebuild of the house starting in 2020. And I can tell you that this is a true story. I received a call from the Department of Revenue just within the last 3 weeks asking if I were done with the improvements to the house, because they had been apparently watching me do the rebuild. I'm not making this up. And I said, well, in fact, I am. And the gentleman basically said, well, we'll take that into account for your next property taxes. This is a true story.
Lovely. Hey, there's mm-hmm. something that we haven't talked about yet, and we're going to take our commercial break right now. But when we come back, I want to talk about the fact that even though it's been a very dry winter, and we're not exactly sure what the forecast is going to be for summer, but flood insurance is something that's very, very important to anyone who lives in Montana, especially if they live near any sort of a source of water. So we're going to talk with James Brown about that. Our phone lines are open, and 721-1290 is our number, 1-800-568-5309. And we're very grateful to have Jim Brown with us. Of course, he's the Montana State Auditor and Commissioner of Insurance. And we're looking forward to spending another, we got about 10 more minutes left with Jim Brown. So if you have a question or a comment, please feel free to pick up the phone, give us a call, 406-721-1290 or 1-800-568-5309. So we're going to come right back and wrap things up with James Brown after this quick timeout. So please stay with us.
Donors choose. Support a classroom.
Build a future.
Did you know that every year, public school teachers spend nearly $500 of their own money for student supplies? Let's do the math. That comes out to over $1.2 billion a year. And that's just not right. At Donors Choose, we want students and teachers to have the tools they need for a great education. And now, more than ever, they need your help. Here's what you can do. Go to DonorsChoose.org and choose from teachers' requests that support reading, math, science, history, and more. Once the request is funded, we'll take care of shipping everything directly to the teacher. It's that easy. You'll receive thank you letters and photos from students and teachers, and a report of how every dollar was spent. Teachers' needs have never been greater. Learn more at DonorsChoose.org.
Donors Choose. Support a classroom.
Build a future.
Are you looking for more in this world? Are you ready for something bigger? Then we are looking for you. The big-hearted, the bold, the messy and the gutsy. The teachers, the growers, the builders. The skilled, the sharers, the change makers. We need you. We are the Peace Corps. In more than 60 countries, we go all in and all out. We are volunteers, partners, communities, working together, living together. Bringing our experience, passion, and joy to building a better world together. From tackling climate change in Mexico to keeping kids healthy in Kenya. From sustainable farming in the Philippines to education in Kosovo. We learn more, give more, share freely, and serve boldly. Are you ready to tackle the tough stuff? To go the distance to make a difference? Then we have a place where you belong. Join us at PeaceCorps.gov.
Okay, we're back on Talk Back. Last segment with James Brown, Montana State Auditor and Commissioner of Insurance. And Jim, I know one of the things, let's go ahead and get Harry's call off.
No, flood prep.
Yeah, well, let's talk about flood.
Been on.
Thank you. Let's talk about flood prep. And I realize it's been very dry, but that doesn't mean that there are areas that are free from flooding.
Yeah, that's good to lead in. My agency put out a information bulletin to both insurance consumers and to insurance agents, just reminding them we are in seasonal risk for heightened flood. Flooding, as you stated, can occur rapidly, little warning. Just because we've had a drier year doesn't mean that flooding still won't happen. The high-risk areas that we already know are any properties near rivers and streams or low-lying terrain or poor drainage zones. The one thing I want people to take away from this portion of the conversation is that most standard homeowners policies do not cover flood damage, do not cover flood damage. And so the coverage options include going to FEMA, the Federal Emergency Management Agency. They have a flood insurance program. And then there are some private market alternatives, which would be a separate rider, if you will, or a separate policy for flood buying flood insurance. And then be prepared to protect your own property through evacuation plan, emergency communication methods, making sure you have text, radio, and alerts, and then having emergency kits, and then make sure you're maintaining your property, your gutters, your sump pumps, and then to store valuables and documents in safe locations.
Now, another thing that to think about also, as we're into the summer, it's going to be a very hot summer fire season. And what happens if a fire gets down to where we live, evacuation, things like that, taking care of valuables, those are plans we also have to make.
Well, 100%. Yeah, this is tied together, like we were talking about off air. Montana's interesting because you may have a low flooding risk year, but that usually means we have a high fire risk this year, and we know that snowpack was down this year, and so I have strong concerns about we're going to have a high fire risk year. I just remind folks that the amount that we've spent in Montana since 2002 on wildland fire suppression is about $500 million or about $30 million per year.
Wow.
And fire suppression is shared between local, state, and federal resources, with federal agencies covering the majority of the cost. But as I've talked about on the air before, there are things that the average homeowner can do to fireproof their property, which is the best thing you can do to make sure that you don't have a loss during wildfire season.
You bet. Let's get Harry's call on before we run out of time. Harry, good morning. You're on with Jim Brown.
Good morning. I was going to ask you something about trust earlier. Got to, but trust land, you talk about state trust land. Is there state land that isn't trust land, and what would be the difference?
Yes, there's absolutely state land that isn't trust land. The difference is that state trust lands are designated parcels that are set aside under the Montana Constitution for the specific use of raising revenue for Montana schools, but there are other types of lands that would be the under the ownership of the state that wouldn't be designated. The one that literally comes to mind, because we were talking about it at the land board yesterday, there was a lawsuit, your listeners may remember, filed mid-2000s dealing with ownership of land underneath stream beds or rivers and who actually own that property for purposes of payment to the state for use or rental of that property. The land board has been in a lawsuit for about 20 years regarding the riverbed on the Missouri above the Great Falls Falls. We're actually coming to a settlement in that case where Northwest Energy and Talon will have to pay the state money for basically rentals of the use of land under the Missouri River, and particularly where it comes in to the Sun River. Pretty interesting. We just authorized the land board to enter into settlement negotiations with those parties to get some money for the state. But that wouldn't necessarily be designated, if you will, for use by schools.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you for the call, sir. We have about a minute and a half left, so anything you haven't covered yet that you'd like to wrap up with before we let you go, sir?
You bet. And you and I talked about this, Peter, and part of the reason I appreciate you getting me on monthly is to remind people that the state auditor's office, one, does exist. Two, we don't actually audit anything. What we do is we are the consumer affairs agency for the people of Montana in terms of insurance and securities. Please reach out to us if you have a problem with your wealth advisor manager or your insurance company. Our website is csimt.gov, csimt.gov, or call 406-444-2040. We are here to help you.
I'm really glad that you said that, because sometimes people get into a state of despair because they don't know who to turn to if they feel if someone has cheated them somehow.
Yes, and that's a great point. Fraud only flourishes if it's in the dark. We are strongly encouraging people, if you've been an attempted victim of fraud or if you're a victim of fraud, to call us and to report that. So one, either we can help you to try to recover your money, or two, to get a handle on the kind of fraud schemes that are happening so we can inform others so they don't become victims.
Jim, always a pleasure. Thank you for your time and your expertise. We appreciate it, sir.
You bet. Always glad to be on.
Thank you, sir. All right, Mr. Nick, as we look forward to Wednesday's fabulous show, what's coming up, sir?
We'll have open phones for the first hour, and then from 9 to 10, we'll have David Sanders joining us, and he is running for the Public Service Commission.
All right, there you go. So lots to look forward to tomorrow. And again, thank you for all your calls today. Try to get out there and enjoy this beautiful day. We'll see you tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock for another edition.